From approximately coast to coast, Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding are pleased to present the CBS Radio Network.
Well, hello, everybody.
We decided
we were missing something in some of the things we were doing here. The audience hasn't been reacting the way they should.
That's right. So we went right out and hired a laugh machine and has all the laughs on it, and it's controlled electronically.
I think it'll punch up a lot of the humor that lies latent.
Not only that, but you can take a dull script and make it sound hilarious with this particular tape we have. And we've asked, who's the fellow that broke this opera for us?
Petra Sinon.
I thought it was Chester Hasbrook Frisbee.
I guess it was Frisbee.
Yes. Chester Hasbrook Frisbee, who writes all our dramatic type things. And he said he'd write us a home type show, and we could use this tape and see how it worked out. How's that for an idea?
That's fine. We've got a good theme for it, so I think without further ado, we should get to it.
All right, let's try it out.
And it's time now for warm situation comedy as we present At Home with the Voting Murchisons, a mature and democratic blending of young and old, a family where unilateral decisions are abhorred.
Matt, Joseph smashed your car this afternoon, ran it right through the plate glass window at Nelson's drugstore.
Well, Joseph, I suppose there's a reason for all that.
Sure, Dad. I did it on a bet. I won 50 cents.
Well, at least there was a reason.
I think you should censure the boy. Mr. Nelson called and said that the damage amounted to $759. And that's more than 50 cents.
Yeah, I suppose $759 is more than 50 cents.
Yes, it is.
Well, let's get on with the voting. We'll start with you, Cora. Do you think Joseph should be punished for his escapade?
Yes, I do. That's my vote.
All right, that's one against you, Joseph. And what's your vote, Cora Sue?
Well, I'll vote against my brother any time. He's stuck up and somewhat of a skunk.
Well, Joseph, things aren't going too well for you here at the Murchison voting table. One more vote against you, and you're in for a censure.
Well, I got a chance if you don't vote against me, Dad. I want you to know I put the 50 cents I won in the Murchison family kitty.
Joseph, I didn't know that. I don't think your mother and Cora Sue knew it either. Now, do either of you want to change your votes?
No.
No.
Ah, gee, what a dinky family.
Joseph, I'm going to have to vote against you, too.
That's good.
Yeah.
I think we nailed him good.
Well, what are you going to do to me? I'm sure it'll be something for my own good.
Well, Mother and I talked it over before the vote, and we decided to take away a few privileges.
That's right, Joseph. Your father and I have decided it might be a good thing if you worked on an assembly line for 2 or 3 years.
What do you think of that decision, Cora Sue? Is it fair?
I think it's fair. Can I get on the phone and tell the kids about it?
Certainly, Cora Sue.
Well, don't stay on too long, though, Cora Sue. We may have to vote on you, too, if you do that.
Son, when you come back from that assembly line, you'll have a much better understanding of automobiles.
Well, then I'm glad I'm going. Can I finish my dinner now?
Not until we vote on it, Joseph.
So it goes with the voting Murchisons, the mature and democratic family next door.
I don't know. Come to think of it, maybe that's unworthy of best, huh?
No, I guess not.
But getting to this other Bob, now Bob Lewis, what do you suppose it's like working the way he does?
Robert Q. Lewis, you mean?
Oh, no, come on.
All right, engineer, we don't really need him.
Yeah, I mean, he works alone. Now, how can people do that? You know, I'd feel like half a team. Suppose he's comfortable up there all by himself?
All right, all right. Who knows? Maybe. Tell you what, he's on every weekday and off the Godfrey time. We might drop around early one day and see how he does it.
Good idea.
And hello again, sports fans. This is Biff Burns in the Biff Burns Sports Room, ready to interview another outstanding figure in the sports world. In this case, our old friend Bill Hockey of the Indiana Mustangs, funky shortstop, who just this past week was sent down to the minors. Bill, I wonder if you could give a little of the background as to how your career seems to be going downhill at this point.
Well, I don't know as I'd use that phrase to describe my career, Biff. Going downhill. I don't like to think that that's what's happening to me.
Well, being kicked out of a top-flight team like the Mustangs, yeah, and sent down there mm-hmm. seems to me to be a little of a setback. How long were you with the Mustangs, Bill?
Well, I went to spring training with them this year, and they kept me up until they had to cut their roster back to 48. So to make room, they had to let me go.
Isn't it true, as a great many of the sports writers pointed out, that you suffered a lot of head colds?
Well, I seem to have been
kept out of spring training quite a bit, didn't it?
I think that's probably one of the biggest reasons why I didn't stick with the team, because of all my colds. And I have sore feet. I can't run very well, and my hitting has been off. This year.
What was your average when you left the Mustangs?
Oh, 58.
You spoke of sore feet. I know the last game I saw you play in, you fell down several times.
Well, oddly enough, you wouldn't think this would happen, but I had my right shoe on my left foot and my left spike on my right foot. You wouldn't believe that could happen, but it
I do in your case, days. Bill. I do believe it did happen because I saw it with my own eyes.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was a rainy day, and we didn't know whether the game was going to be played or not. And the manager said, "Get in the uniform, hurry out in the field." So that's what happened.
You look pretty awkward out there. I will say that for you.
Thank you.
Now, there was one outstanding play you made this past season: a running backhand catch. That was off the bat of who?
That was hit by Larrap and Lou Jolly of the St. Paul team. He got a hold of a high outside pitch, Biff, and as you know, I was playing right field. That was before I became a scrappy shortstop.
Uh-huh.
And I was more or less a sweet-tempered
right fielder, yeah.
And I, at the crack of the bat, I sensed that this ball had distance to it.
Had your name on it, too.
Had,
right?
It had my name on it.
Would you put it that way?
I wouldn't put it that way. And it was just... No, I don't think
so. Well, put it any way you want.
Right.
You know?
And it was just a question whether it had the wings to get over the fence. So I backed up for it, and...
Never dreaming you'd be able to snag it, huh?
That's right. And it was probably one of the most... the nicest catch I think I ever made.
Yes, but of course you dropped it after the catch and the run scored, and this was the run that won the game. I see our time is running a little bit short, but for all of the kids listening in, do you have any advice on how to turn out to be a ball player like yourself?
Well, I'd say any kid who wanted to grow up and be a major league ball player, Biff, is to, every time he sees a ball, pick up that baseball, throw that ball, get to know that ball,
now the time
handle
is
it,
really up. I want to thank
ball.
You, Bill, for dropping
when
by
you,
today.
When you grow up, you're going to be holding on to a ball.
This
you're
is
going
Biff
to be
Burns
playing
until
fairly.
Next time, so long.
You'll be a
Yes.
Hate to disturb you right now, but the painters are here.
The painters are here? What do you mean?
They can't. Come on in, fellas. Let's go. Let's get it done,
can't
huh?
Paint in the
we don't have too much time.
Yeah, this has to be the blue wall there. It's going to be the blue one.
I think the one that has the big B written on it.
They can't begin just in the middle
can't
of the show.
Can't begin.
Like
they're
this.
Doing it.
I know it, but can't. Can you gentlemen wait and for about 5 minutes?
Where do I put the battleship gray?
Webb, are you gonna? Are you a painter?
I'm in charge of painting and maintenance here now.
Well, how did that happen? I thought you
were
our book reviewer.
Well, Bob, you haven't given me a book to review. You haven't given me any... Go right ahead. Go on, Ingeborg.
Yeah, this is the
this is going to be the blue wall over here, is it?
That's right. The one's the buried, and the others are the vows of war.
Yeah, sure, all of them. They get right busy with it.
Can't you strike them, Bob, that you haven't door given me any time on your program?
Well, we've been on less than 2 weeks. We haven't gotten around to book reviews. We've had so much to do getting the show off the ground.
Well, this is something steady, and they told me there's a lot of studios to paint. And, be careful up there, Edgar.
Hey, I spilled that bucket of white paint all over there.
You don't suppose you're going to leave the floor that way, Webby?
No, oh, you're going to clean that all that up, aren't you?
That's that very quick prime paint.
Oh, it's dried already, I see.
Ingeborg, are you stuck?
Yes, I'm standing right in the middle of it here.
You're really stuck right to the floor. Just
lift my foot here.
Wait a minute. How do we call emergency? Somebody get them
Do they have one?
I think so.
I don't know. I'll have to get the operator.
Oh, he's really stuck badly there. It's terrible.
Yes, sure, I am.
Operator? This is the Bob and Ray studio calling.
Hello.
The radio program.
Hello. Yes?
We're on the air now, and
congratulations. The there were some doubts about it down here.
The painter is stuck in the middle of the floor, and some quick drying paint he spilled.
Does he want to call anybody?
No, he just wants to get hold of maintenance or emergency or something.
Don't bother me with that, will you, please?
Well, who do we call to get him unstuck there?
That's emergency.
Well, can you give us that number? That's what I wanted, really.
All right, just a second. I'll see if anyone's there.
Hold on, Ingmar. She's,
You'll be all right, Ingmar. Don't worry.
You don't have a sandwich on you, do you?
Hello, emergency.
Hello, Bob and Ray. We have a... Bob and Ray.
Yeah.
We have a painter stuck to the floor here, and it's disrupting a program already in progress. Huh?
Yeah.
What do we do? Can you help?
Let's do you in. We'll be up there in 20, 30 minutes. We're on lunch now.
Well, I know it. We just wanted to finish the show in a, you know, in a big finish way, and we can't with him stuck.
Studio,
there.
What is it again?
26.
Okay.
All right, they're going to come up well. So, we can just take care of them. Just keep them quiet.
Wait a second, I have an idea. Could you throw, do we have a tarpaulin that they cover the pianos with? Throw it over,
Ingeborg. One over there on the piano.
Well, throw it over, Ingeborg, for now, because it bothers me to
then
see him.
I have to look at him.
Swell. You don't mind, Ingeborg?
No, that's
all right.
Good.
All right.
All right.
Now then.
Where's the impersonator that was booked by Wilbur Conley, the young squirt who works for us? Is he here?
Yes, sir.
That's you, I guess, sir.
Yes,
huh?
Sir.
I don't want too long to talk to you. Just what is it? All right, Webb, will you just...
All right. I'll stand still till the program's over. I'll wait for the emergency.
What is your line of show business entertainment, sir?
I'm a tree imitator.
You imitate trees?
That's right.
Do you do this on television?
Do it on TV shows, small, intimate nightclubs. Takes me maybe 20, 30 minutes to do my act, depending on applause, encores, one thing or another.
I've never heard of an act of this sort. How many trees do you have in your repertoire?
Well, it takes me 8 months, really, of concentrated rehearsal and practice
to get one down.
Get the imitation down perfect. I have maybe 15 trees I could do for
15?
You.
15? That's quite a stable.
Well, I've been doing...
What was the hardest one you ever learned?
I think the forsythia bush.
Uh-huh. That's because of its gay, multicolored, yellow blossom.
Mm-hmm.
It is yellow, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. You're right.
Well, what are you going to do for us here this evening?
Well, I'd like to do the Weeping Willow, the very pathetic Weeping Willow.
All right, here is Phil Fish, tree impersonator with the Weeping Willow. Like that, audience? Yes, they do. Very good. I wish we had time for more, but our time just about has run out on us today. This has gone very quickly. I see emergency is coming in the studio now. Thank you very much, Phil.
Maybe we'll have
a few more of your
questions. Good, wonderful.
Tonight.
Thank you.
And we will be here, chances are, tomorrow at the same time.
He's over under the top hall.
Look over here, sir. Who's the top hall?
Until the next time, this is Ray Goulding reminding you all to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumb.
This is the CBS Radio Network. City.